Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Well. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast, Yahuwah's radio is now on the air. I be your host, thy name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. Well, we're doing a series called Covenant to Exile. The biblical and scholarly journey of the true Israel, the Israelite. The one you call African American and Negro and color. The Israelites of the Bible. Live broadcast on a Wednesday, 3/27/2024. March 27, 2024. Live broadcast. Hosea Israel. Well, we're looking on the international side, we see that's packed jam. They're ready to go, but on the left side, they're not ready to go. So what we do, we just put a tape on until those, you gotta always be ready, always ready to go. And thus says Yahuwah, you got to give it all you got because it can't be your last. And we're going to touch on, again, a little bit more about what happens before and after death. We'll touch on a little bit more about that for the Six Anointed Camp to be clear how to stay in front of when these things happen, which is going to happen to every man and woman, death. And those that have to organize the death, the dead ones, exactly what you do according to the Bible, to stay in line with thus says Yahuwah, until stand in line with Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. I'll show you how to stay in line with the Bible. And then you be in position to help others when that time is on them. You be able to help them. So what we're going to do, we're just going to put on a tape of a previous broadcast or whatever until... That's what we do. You can put a tape on. That's what we do. Let's see if we put a tape on for right now. But when you come in the room, we'll go back live. But let's see if we find a tape to put on to help us understand some things. Then what we do, we'll go live once those of the Six Anointed Camps come in the room. then we'll come back and go live. How that sound? It's missing me. Find us a tape to put on. That's what we'll do. And that give me a chance to do a lot of things until they start packing into the room. And once they pack into the room, then we take the tape off and we'll come back to you live. How that sound? Remember one thing, C. Roy. The live broadcast is a Wednesday, 3/27/2024. Live broadcast, tape number 27. Tape number 27. And we're discussing or showing you sound information. What happens before and after death. Exactly what we got to do to stay in line with Yahuwah. See, what you want to do to make sure you stay in line with him. That's the one got all the power. He the one that's going to be the one that called for the bodies of old to get up. He's going to be the one to do it. He's going to say bodies of old all the way back from the foundation of the world. He's going to say get up, bodies. And they're going to hear him. And the body's going to hear him. And then the body's going to get up. And those that have done well, he's going to raise up Adam first. And those that done well, he's going to raise them up. So remember one thing. Don't let nobody tell you about how the dead going to get up. Because Yahuwah going to tell you in his lesson, they're going to get up by hearing the voice of the Son. All that's in the ground, you hear what I said? All that's in the ground going to get up. You hear what I just said? All that's in the ground. Everybody that's born of a woman is in the ground. None of them is up and away. So keep that in your mind. None up and away. That's Christianity, bad teaching. So what we're going to do, we're going to put a tape on for right now until those on the left side come in the room. Once they come in the room, then what we'll do, we'll go live. Because see, I'm always ready to go. So see, he'll give it all he got. Every time you come on the broadcast and be your last. So you got to make sure you give it all you got. And thus says Yahuwah. So what we're going to do, we're going to put a tape on until those of the six anointed camps come in the room. And then we'll get back to teaching on whatever the Almighty give us to teach on. How that sound? That sound good? Let's see if we find a tape to put on. Then once the elder come in the room and the mothers come in the room and the daughter Yahuwah come to the room, then we'll come back live. Remember, the harvest is plenty, but the labor is few. There's plenty of work to be done. Oh, yeah, plenty of work to be done. But you got to really want to get off into this thing. And I'm hook, line, and sinker on taking care of Yahuwah's business. I care less for all the stuff that they start up, they accuse you of, because all that can come to a nothing as long as you stay in Yahuwah. That's a game changer. Stay in Yahuwah. And he'll take it from there. Because you're going to be accused of many things. But you got to stay in Yahuwah. And Yahuwah say, I got you. If you believe it. If you believe Yahuwah saying he got you, then he got you. So let's see if we find a previous broadcast. Put a tape on. And once they line up in the room, then we'll come back. But that's what we do. We'll come back later on.
That's when everybody comes out for a funeral.
But is that biblical-wise? What do you do after death according to the Bible? I mean, according to the Bible. It's not according to Christianity. What do you do according to the Bible after death? We'll talk all about that a little bit later. We see one of the young lions in, ready to do his part in Thus Says Yahweh. And we also see Brother G. Edwards. You know, sooner or later, he's going to take some notes and ask some questions and get in where he's been in it. So we pull up our Brother G. Edwards to understand one thing. The Bible is for real. It has been taught wrong by others. And we try to bring it back to the table how to teach the Bible right to yourself and to your loved ones, because everybody's going to taste some death. But you have to know exactly what happens after death and how long you're going to be in that predicament according to the Bible, not according to Christianity. Because Christianity pastors have you up and away, zooms, and they be able to communicate with you from your casket to heaven. So they do it like that. But is that biblically correct when you open the Bible? We're going to find out. Let's see if we bring the young lion in and get something going on. See if we bring the young lion in, since he's ready to harden that microphone. And now, Brother G. Edwards, if you ever want to harden that microphone a little bit and you want to talk some Bible, you know, just let us know. And we'll get you in there, let you holler in that microphone too, because it's a big job ahead of us. Even where we're heading down to. And you got to be in order. Because like I said, again, everything right around the corner, so all we're doing now is getting in order to be prepared to teach the Bible, not teach people's emotions. So y'all lying. What I'm up in front of teachers out of Cap 1.
Yahweh bless you there, see ya, Israel, hallelujah,
there, young lion, excellent. All right, young lion, ready to go. I see Mother E, this is here. I like hopping that microphone too, because I know what
the microphone is. I told you what I was good about. This is a message. And she looked at me like you said, she lives on with the shit. So that's why I couldn't win hospital with you no more. You know, that shit dead. It's over with, man.
I thought that was Mother D.F. Israel. I mean, Mother E. I thought it was. Hey, young man, call Mother E on the telephone. I thought that was Mother E, but it's here. You know, I thought I'm looking at... is this Mother? No, this can't be Mother E. No, that's not Mother E. So, young lion, give Mother E a call and tell her come on that radio and get hollering that microphone. I thought that was Mother E. But we're getting ready to do another live broadcast of Thus Says Yahweh. And matter of fact, call Mother D up Israel too. Get him ready. So one day, Brother G.L. was going to be ready to harm that microphone, too. You never know. See, Yahweh put that spirit on him. When Yahweh put that spirit on you, you're going to do right. And when Yahweh take that spirit away from you, you ain't going to do right. Because when that spirit taken away from you, it's over with. That's the game. As long as you got that spirit in you, you're going to be kicking and moving around real good. But when Yahweh takes that spirit away from you, which is called a breath of life, then you're not going to be able to do anything but be in that ground until the first resurrection. Now, in fact, we're going to talk about that. Let's talk about that. Because back in the days, young man, Mark understood this thing way back there in the 11th chapter. Let's see if we get something going on. And the same token, you call Mother E and Mother D up Israel and tell them to come on the broadcast. While I talk a little bit,
Well, y'all quiet.
You change the kind. Touch y'all a little bit. Get them on the line. And I'll talk a little bit. Because soon or later, they're going to get in where they've been in. That's because here's the point. They're going to realize that everything that's been taught.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise His righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right, we are live on the March the 27th, 2024, live broadcast, part number 27. And we got Daughter Yahuwah came to the room, so it's time to go live. The live broadcast on. And remember one thing, we try to make sure the Six Anointed Camps is clear about what happens after death and how to prepare yourself for it. In the same token, that death is going to pass on every man and woman. No doubt about it. Matter of fact, it passed on Yahuwah the Son. He knew that his mission was to come and die for this man. And those that kept that covenant, that's what he died for. But I'm going to tell you something now. Don't let Christianity fool you. Because of if you're not keeping the law, statutes, and the commandments, he didn't die for you. He died for the one that can keep the law, statutes, and the commandments. So that's a game changer. So we see Daughter Yahuwah is ready to holler that microphone. So why should we delay any further? Let's bring Daughter in. We'll get something going on and see which way this thing going to go. Spirit led through Yahuwah, take number 27. This is a Wednesday. March 27th, 2024. So we see Daughter Yahuwah is ready to harden that microphone, and that makes those seer get happy. So he's going to say, Daughter Yahuwah, one of the sisters out of camp one, Yahuwah be to them seer ready.
Yahuwah bless you, seer Israel of Seed Royal.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, boy, that daughter sound like you up to snuff. And that's the way you feel like it, you know, because the harvest is plenty, but the labor is few. And we got a big job to do, daughter. So like I said again, sooner or later, the Camp 1 is going to be in another location. It's going to be real big location. So what we're trying to do is get the people in place that prepared to understand this thing, because we just can't be on the scene and all over the place. We gotta know what we're talking about. We gotta know what this Bible's saying about any subject matter. So the daughter did say one time ago, she said, you know, I love to teach the youth how to get themselves straight. And guess what?
the way she spoke that out, she spoke that in existence, because the greatest place that we're going to, we got two or three schools connected to it. So all that gonna come to pass. It just looks technical here and there. And next thing you know, bam, we're gonna be in there. So we wanna make sure daughter is prepared to, when the youth is in the room, they need to know the truth of a matter. She know how to use the scriptures and take care of the business. So let's see, can we talk about a little bit, daughter? But let's look at, get something going properly. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Hey, daughter Yahweh, see what Luke chapter 12, verse 12 says on March the 27th, 2024 on a Wednesday, on tape 27. What do Luke 12:12 say there? Come on, daughter.
So Luke chapter 12, verse 12.
Yeah, yeah. What that say there, daughter? What do Luke 12:12 say, daughter?
Okay, let me get down. Luke chapter 12. Okay. Luke chapter 12, verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
That's exactly right, daughter. But put some good spirit with it, because the righteous spirit will teach you. And on the international side, over 900,000. Yeah, exactly right. 900,000 plus in counting. And so, daughter, we left off on some pretty good stuff on the last broadcast. But a big dignitary is cutting me off. Because it's a seer, you know, you're going to hurt the industry on the funeral home business with your conversation. So, but in the same token, I got to do Yahweh's will there, darling. So now in the book of Hebrews 7, verse 4, I want to take a look at. I want to take a look and see what can we get out of Hebrews 7 verse 4. Hey daughter, what can we get out of Hebrews, picking up at verse 4? Let's take our time and see what can we get out of Hebrews 7 verse 4. What does it say?
The book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil."
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. Now, that's pretty good. But I want to go another way, because Abraham was a great man.
Mm.
But Abraham, he says something in Genesis. Daughter, I'm struggling right now off the get-go since you brought Abraham in. Abraham said something way back to the sons of Ham once he got in the land, and he purchased something from them, daughter. But I'm struggling right now. We got a lot of time. So he asked the big dignitary for something that he wanted from them since you brought up Abraham there, daughter. But I'm struggling on what he said. What he said. Now, he talked about he went to heaven, and he talked about something, daughter, that he wanted to purchase something. And, but I'm struggling right now, daughter. You know, because again, we don't really never set up nothing. We do everything by Luke 12:12. But you brought that great point out about Abraham. So I want to take a look at something pertaining to what Abraham said. Now, you have to see out. Let's see what it says in the 23rd chapter of Genesis. It's something I want to go take a look at, Lord. We got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. Let's see what it says in the 23 verse 1 of Genesis.
The book of Genesis, chapter 23, verse 1 reads, and Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Verse 2, and Sarah died in Kirjath-Arba. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her.
That's good.
Verse 3.
And skip down to verse 7. Yeah, skip down to verse 7, daughter. I mean, that's, you own something, daughter. So now let's get down to verse 7 and see what we can get out of verse 7.
Verse 7. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth.
Go ahead.
Verse 8. And he communed with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar.
Now, that's a good point. Now, that's a good point, daughter. Let me talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
I got a memo in, and they asked a question about my loved one asked me, told me that when, if I pass before you pass, I want to be, what that word is, what that memo is, I want to be, what that memo is. Oh, they want to be burnt up and put into the little toolbox.
Cremated.
What they call it?
Cremated.
What they call it, daughter?
Cremated.
Thank you, daughter. You go. They want to be cremated. But I asked them, are you an Israelite? Yes, but I want to be cremated. I said, well, where you get that from? You didn't get it from the Bible, and a lot of people, you know, they want to be cremated. But now we find out right now that Abraham, he was wanted matter of fact, read verse 6 again. Read verse 6. Let's see, can we trace some things back for the six anointed cats to understand something that when you cremate your body, it's not biblical. Verse 6.
The book of Genesis, chapter 23, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, hear us, my Yahweh, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchre, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from you this sepulchre, but that you may bury your dead.
You hear that, daughter? So now, Abraham understood that you have to, your dead, you got to bury your dead. Bury your dead. And you know, that creed, that, say that word again, daughter?
Cremation.
That cremation. That means, you know, Just bump me in the fire and take my ashes and put it into a little bottle, and they pass you a little bottle, and then you had a bottle sitting on top of your dresser somewhere. No, that's not biblically. Get a little bit more out of it, daughter. Let's look at verse 8 and 9.
The book of Genesis, chapter 23, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 reads, and he communed with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar. Verse 9, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place among you.
Mm-hmm. So you see that? So Abraham was wanted a burying place, and let's see what happened next there, daughter. I mean, we shoot live from stretch. Got nothing written down, daughter. We're just going through Spirit of Yahuwah. So in verse 17 down to verse 20, let's see what happened next. 17 down to verse 20.
Genesis chapter 23, verse 17 to 20. Verse 17 reads, and the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, there were all the borders round about, were made sure. Verse 18, unto Abraham for a possession, in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went at the gate of his city. Verse 19. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. Verse 20. In the field, in the cave, that is therein, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth.
Yeah. So there go Abraham bearing Sarah, and he buried Sarah in the cave. So she was buried. So when you start looking at this, what's that word again, daughter?
Cremation.
Cremation. You know, a lot of people, they want to be cremated. But you understand something. This ministry is to unlock things of old and bring it back to the table and see exactly what the children of the book did when they was on the clock. So, now, I'm looking for Abraham now, daughter. I'm looking for when his time was on the clock. What happened to him? So, I'm looking for the time of Abraham's time, daughter. We're going to the 25th chapter. Let's see when it's time for Abraham. Because remember, everybody going to taste the death. If you're born of one man, you're going to taste on this death. No doubt about it. So you need to know exactly what they did and how they did it. And Genesis 25, verse number 8, let's read a little bit and see what happened when Abraham time and exactly what happened to Abraham. We're going to 25, and we'll pick up the verse number 8.
The book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, then Abraham gave up the spirit and died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Verse 9. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. Verse 10, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham, buried, and Sarah, his wife.
Okay,
verse
good.
11.
So there it goes. Okay. Yeah, that's good. So we got Abraham, Sarah, and Abraham. They was what? Was it? What was they? What was that word again, that daughter? What was the word again?
Buried. They cremated.
What was that word? So Sarah and Abraham was not cremated.
No, they
was
buried.
What daughter?
They were buried.
They were buried. They were buried. Okay. So that's our forefathers and
and mothers of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. So we clear that they was buried. Now let's take a look and see if we find Isaac. Help me out, daughter. I'm certain, daughter, but let's see if you can help me find Isaac. Now we know Isaac and Ishmael buried their father. So now I want to know what happened with Isaac now. See, now where's it going? Now we know that this is a bombshell on those that goes the other way. But now I want to find out what happened to Isaac now. So if you can help me find out what happened to Isaac. So Isaac taking over for Abraham. Matter of fact, I want to read that verse to make sure that Isaac taking over for him. And then that give me a chance to be peeping around. So I want to go back and see what that before did. When he was making out his verbal will, what did he say, making out his verbal will in 25? Let's see what he says in verse number 5. 25, verse 5 and verse 6. I want to know what's going on in verse 5. So he made out his verbal will, and what did he say in verse, Genesis 25, verse 5 and 6? What did he say there, dog?
The book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 reads, "And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac." Verse 6, "But unto the of the concubine which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived."
Okay, good. Good. So there's right there. So now we clear that Isaac taking over after Abraham. That's good. We got that out the way. Now what we're going to do, daughter, we're going to be looking around and find out in this book what happened when it was Isaac time. So now Isaac had, he had two sons in this yard, Esau and Jacob. Now I want to know what happened when the going seed was any of our forefathers or mothers was cremated. Was they all buried? So now we're trying to find out what happens now with what happened to Isaac when his time had come to the closing. So now, so help me out, daughter. I'm trying to peek for in the Bible to find out what happened to Isaac. So we're going to keep talking until we run up on the verse of what happened to Isaac. They want to make sure that we understand how this thing goes. Because it got to be a ministry to really understand what this Bible's saying, because Christianity and Islam have destroyed us and got us in bad shape with Yahweh. Got us in bad shape with Yahweh. Because we're not doing nothing that this Bible tells us to do. We're doing everything according to Christianity. So now I'm looking for the storyline of the time for Isaac to lay down, daughter. Now if you spot something before I spot it, and that's a great thing, because we're shooting straight up from the spirit of Yahweh, but I want to find out about Isaac now. So now, I know somewhere in the 48th chapter, Isaac was talking. He's been around a long time. So Isaac was around. Was that Isaac around that long? Or was that Jacob? No, that thought was Jacob. So daughter, help the old seer out. I'm trying to find out what happened to Isaac. So we know that Isaac was the next man up. And how long did he go? It's a record on it in the Bible. And we want to lay that foundation about Isaac. See? Because Isaac is the next man up. You see now, Isaac had but it was a statement made by in the 27th chapter, verse 41, daughter. It was a statement made, so we know he was still around because this statement was made in 27:41. What does 27:41 say of the book of Genesis?
The book of Genesis.
Hmm? Yep. 27:41.
The book of Genesis, 27, verse 41. Verse 41 reads, "And Esau hated Israel, Jacob, because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his mind, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Israel."
So he gonna slay his brother Jacob. His name ain't changed yet. So he say, "I'm going to take care of him. Is the days of mourning for our father is at hand. Then I'm going to take care of you, Jacob. Then I'm going to get you." So now we know one thing. Jacob is around now. But no, where am I, Isaac? I'm still. Well, their father's name was Isaac. That's right. Their father's name was Isaac. That's right. So now we know Isaac's still around. His days at hand. So now let's see if we run in to him getting up the ghost. So now we're trying to run him down now, daughter. Let's run him down when it's time for we're trying to run down the depth of Isaac. Now we're trying to run down now, brother. The death of Isaac. We're trying to walk it all the way down, daughter. You know, the death of Isaac. We want to find out, was he cremated or was he buried like this mother and his father was? Did anything happen different for him? Because cremation come from somewhere.
Genesis 35:27.
Okay. All right, you're working with me, daughter. Genesis what?
Genesis chapter
35,
verse
28
and
29. Okay, let's see what you're working with. You know, I can happen when old sales get bailed out. That's a great thing, that daughter.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. Now, remember, we had to find the national audience. So we're going to take our time and we're going to work this out real good because we want to make sure exactly we understand exactly what's going on, because it's time out for us to continue down and not doing nothing by the Bible. So now we got past Sarah, we got past Abraham, and now Abraham gave all he had to Isaac. Now Isaac, it's Isaac's turn now. So now Isaac is the next man gonna taste him some death. Now, daughter, well, you're going to pick up again that daughter. Call your verse out and take your time. Go ahead.
I'm going to pick up Genesis chapter 35. I'm going to pick up in verse 27 to 29.
Okay.
Verse 27 reads, "And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned." Verse 28, "And the days of Isaac were 84 years." Verse 29, "And Isaac gave up the spirit and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him.
What did they do, daughter?
Buried him.
They buried him. So there it is right there. So there go your big dignitaries. So now look what we got here. We got the top three big dignitaries out of it. Sarah, Abraham, and Isaac. So he was full of days, lived 100-some years old, and Esau and Jacob buried him. So you can't get ain't no cremation so far. So now we got, that's big business right there. Now let's go and get, now who was next? Who was next? We got Esau and Jacob, daughter. We want to find out who next then. Which one gets the torch to carry? I want to see, can we find out who next? I want to go back to back up a little bit. Yeah, now, I want to find out the 22 boys that we can read, who gets the blessing after that. I'll back up to the 28th chapter, daughter.
Okay.
And I want to find out something on the way of finding out something. Let's see what happens in verse number 28, verse 5 and 6. 28, verse 5. We're going to lay a good foundation, daughter. Let's see what he says in verse 28, verse 1. Let's take it at 28, verse 1 down to verse number 6. Let's see what we get in Genesis 28, 1 down to verse 6. What is that, daughter Yahweh?
Okay, Genesis chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1 reads, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Verse 2, Arise, go to Padanaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take you a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Verse 3, And Yahweh Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be a multitude of people. Verse 4, And give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed with you, that you may inherit the land wherein you are a stranger, which Yahweh gave unto Abraham. Verse 5, And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padanaram, unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. Verse 6. When Esau saw, Verse 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padanaram to take him a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, You shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan.
That's big business, that daughter now. So now we clear that the next man was in line between Esau and Jacob, according to scriptures now. Who's the next one going to carry the torch after Isaac, their father? Was it Esau or was it Jacob? So who the next one in line there, daughter?
Jacob.
How we know? Because what did Esau see out his own eyes in verse 6? What did Esau translate today as the white man and the white woman, five sons of Esau? What did they see out of their own eyes in verse number 6?
Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob.
Why is the controversy today priests don't know who the blessing goes to, because we don't want to read verse number 28, verse 6. Esau was translated there as the white man and the white woman. They seen that the blessing was passed on to Jacob. So Jacob is the one something happened to Jacob. So we clear he's Jacob now. But Esau, the firstborn son of Isaac, is in writing that he seen that his father blessed Jacob. See, that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. They seen, he seen, and matter of fact, he had a conversation about it, daughter. We might well be just a little bit. We got plenty of time. Let's look at verse 38 down to verse 40. 27, verse 38 to verse 40. Let's get a precept on that, though. So, see, it got to be a ministry to know what's going on. Know how to go in the Bible and take care of his business. I mean, let the world bump their gums and go in the Bible and just take care of business. So we ran down exactly the foundation, and we found out that after death, the children of a book, they was buried. They did not go and get cremated, thrown in the fire. Then you take the ashes out and put it in a hume, or you put it in the thing. Then they give you a little bottle and say, now here go your remains. You see that? So we know that ain't come from, that, so far that ain't came from the Bible. But we might in other lessons tell you where that come from. Not that we don't know, but we don't want to jump the gun. We want to lay the foundation for those who understand one thing, that the people of the Bible, the children of Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, they buried their dead. They did not cremate their dead. See? So far. So now we're going to look at 27 verse 38 down to verse 40, daughter. No, I need to go to 41 too, because it ties all in to verse 6. We read 6 already in 28 chapter verse 6. But what can we say in 38 to 41? Take your time there, daughter. The world is listening to you. Take your time and put on that Academy Award reading and deliver. Come on.
Genesis chapter 27, verses 38 through 41. Verse 38 reads, "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. Verse 40. And by thy sword shall you live, and shall serve your brothers. And it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion, that you shall break his yoke from off thy neck. Verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his mind, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I kill my brother Jacob.
Yeah. So you see that? So Esau knows plainly that the blessing is supposed to be to his brother Jacob. He knows it because he said, because now, if you don't know who Esau is today, if you know those of Christianity descent, whoever Esau is, he runs things with the sword. That means he's selling everything by the sword. So what nation you know that sells everything pertaining to not bargaining with anybody? So what nation today that you know that when they get mad, they sell things by the sword? So what nation, 18 nations now, so what nations fit that today out of your eyes? And that is translated today as the white man and the white woman. How they sell things today? They sell it by the sword. They don't run faster than you or jump higher than you. No. They don't sell nothing. No, they make things that shoot around the corner and lay you down and then take your possession. So now you know who Esau is today. He the one that sell things by the sword. That's how he rolls. So now, I don't know who Esau is today. Whatever people that sell things by the sword as a nation, that's who Esau is today. One that sell things by the sword. So it's easy to figure out who Esau is today. He said, Esau don't exist no more. But no, in 4:16 of it, the wise man in the world said, I beg the difference on that. In Ecclesiastes 4:16, daughter, I beg the difference when you put some book on it. You might not know who Esau is today, but because you just don't want to believe that's Esau today. But do you believe what the wise man in the world said in 4:16 of Ecclesiastes? What it said, daughter?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, there is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely, this also is vanity and vexation of spirit.
And so you hear that, daughter? So ain't nobody been extinct. There's no race of people that have been extinct. They here. There's no end to the peoples. It's just what they have done. They changed the name to protect the guilty. You know, they say we change the name to protect the innocent. No, no, no. They changed their name to protect the guilty. See? So now you clear. Now you know plainly that the book says no end to the nations. If they all gonna be here, but you know they're gonna be this scramble and the name, and you be looking for a certain people called Esau today, you gonna say what? You Esau? What? What is that? What is that? You know it. You know they've been trained real well to say what is that. Now, you know what it is. You've been trained well to ignore who Esau is, and you just call yourself the white man and the white woman, see, because you want to ignore your bloodline of nationality, because you know when you read about the truth of Esau, that's his mindset. But now, we ain't going to stay on that. Okay, some other thing. Now, so now we see now Esau understood that the blessing was given to Jacob. But then Jacob, this name Jacob, we got to go to the 32nd chapter and see what happened to this name Jacob now. Because we jumped the gun a little bit with this name Jacob, but we got to find out exactly what happened to this name Jacob and who is Jacob today. So what we got to do is do a little research there, daughter, and look at who come on the scene in 32 verse 1 and 2 of Genesis. So we got to find out who coming on the scene in Genesis 32 verse 1 and 2. And we see Mother D of Israel. She came on the scene, that daughter. So we're looking good. Looking good. No doubt about it. Looking good. Mother D of Israel came on the scene. But daughter, in 32 verse 1 and 2, me read in Genesis 32, verse 1 and 2.
The book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 reads, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves." Genesis chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. "And Jacob went on his way, and the ministering spirit of Yahuwah met him." Verse 2. "And when Jacob saw him, he said, this is Yahuwah's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim."
Mm-hmm. Good. What happened in verse 3?
"And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom."
Wait a minute, dog. The country of Esau, Edom, where's the homeland at, my daughter?
In the land of Seir. The country of Edom.
Oh, so the white man and the white woman homeland is where, daughter?
Seir, the country of Edom.
So it's not Israel and it's not Europe?
Nope.
You mean it's written in the Bible exactly the homeland of the white man and the white woman? It's written in the Bible, daughter, in verse 3?
Yeah.
You see that? It's written in the Bible exactly the homeland of the white man and the white woman. But the white man and the white woman, they claim Europe and Israel. So, according to the Bible, I see what it tells you. Stay out of the Old Testament, they say. It's done away with. I see why you say that. Because we find out that Esau translated there as the white man and the white woman have a homeland. And it's called Mount Seir. So wherever Mount Seir is on your Google map, you see it. It's written below Israel. That is the homeland. So you see that? So if I get a precept on that now, then we know we own something. Now if I get a precept on that, then one thing we can say one thing. That's the ball game. If I can get a precept on it, dog. So let's even get a precept. Let's go to the 36th chapter. I want to get it a little bit different here. So hold on. So I'm struggling right now, but I want to get a little bit more different. I want to get a confrontational act going on there, daughter. That's what I want to get. I want to get a little confrontation going on. I want to get a second witness. Because, see, it got to be a ministry to be able to remember. Remember your desires, daughter. You say, you know, I like to teach the young ones. So, and that gonna come to pass, daughter. You're gonna be sitting in the classroom with all. And so you got to have to lay their foundation in that right out of Campbell just right. You must have this information before, because you can't be fumbling around letting the system teach you. So long as the system teach you. They're not going to never read the Bible. They're going to tell you all that's done away with. So now, so we find out right now on the way of finding out something. We'll find out a lot on the way of finding out something. But I need to know a little bit more about that in Genesis. I need a little bit more, if I can say again. But I'm struggling. And I need to know a little bit more. Let me see if I find me a nice book that'll give me a little bit more information on a precept on that when you talk when you talk about in the 33rd chapter there, daughter, it's on the 33rd chapter. So you keep talking till you find the verse. So when you, when the classroom start going up and you got all the little ones all ready, just out of their pamphlets, and you start teaching them, you let them know you're going to keep talking till you find something. Keep, you know, don't have no dead spell. So now let's find out something in the 33rd chapter of the book of Genesis. Let's see what we can read in verse number. We're going to get a second witness without going at verse 30, chapter 36. Get in verse 15, no, 14 down to verse 16. We're going to get a second witness, daughter Yahweh. Let's see what it says in 33, verse 14 and 16. What does it say?
The book of Genesis, chapter 33, verse 14 through 16. Verse 14 reads, let my Yahweh, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that go before me, and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my Yahweh, unto Seir. Verse 15, and Esau said, let me now leave with you some of the folk that are with me. And he said, what need is it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Yahweh. Verse 10. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir.
Hey, guess what? Where did Esau go back to, daughter?
Seir.
That's his homeland. He went back home. See, we understand that Esau and Jacob did make up. But the family that came out of the line twisted the thing, and his son told his daddy, listen, you might have seen well with your brother, but we ain't going to see well with him. So we're going to keep this spirit going on even to today. But the point we're going to get, Esau, homeland, according to scripture, is where, daughter?
Mount Seir.
Well, let's get a third one, because you didn't boldly deal with it. I want to boldly deal with something, daughter. We go to 36th chapter. We want to get it boldly. We want to make sure we got all this in right. Because everything that came out your mouth is going to come to pass. Land, school, banquet hall, radio station, a lot of classrooms to teach. And we got to know to teach. You can't teach for what society gave us. We got to teach 36 verse 1 and 8 and 9. We got to be able to teach this and boldly teach. Genesis 36 verse 1, 8 and 9. With no problem. What does it say?
Mm-hmm. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, 8 and 9. Verse 1 reads, now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Verse 8 and 9. Thus dwell Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Verse 9. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir.
Ain't that something? So, in Israel or in Europe, they don't belong there. Is that what we're reading there?
Yeah, they're on Mount Seir.
They're homeland right there. So, you know, what is holding up people to understand that the white man and the white woman, homeland is not the land of Israel, it's not the land of Japan, land they call Europe. Their homeland is Mount Seir. So when you do see, your Becky and Jethro, You don't know. I know where your homeland is at. Yeah, my homeland is Europe. No, it's not. My homeland is the land of Israel. No, it's not. Your homeland is Mount Seir. And I'm going on a Google map and see exactly where it's at. It's right below the land of Israel. You see? That's big business there. So now we need to know these things, especially if you're going to teach. You got to know about everybody in the Bible, just like we're trying to show soundly about cremation. A lot of people are going to be, what that word again, daughter?
Cremation.
But we found out in the Bible that all the big dignitaries of the Bible was buried. They was buried. And we're going to get some more after we bring Mother D.F. Israel. So now Mother D.F. Israel, she looks here. You know, I'm one of the most out of Camp One. I like hollering that microphone, too. So let me holler that microphone a little bit. Hey, Mother D.F. Israel, Yahweh be there, see you right here.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother D.F. Israel. Hey, Mother D.F. Israel, I want you to kind of have something waiting on me. In the book of Isaiah, had that waiting on me. Chapter 57, verse 1 and 2, had it waiting on me. Then have a Becca chapter 3, 1, 2.
I can't hardly hear. You said Isaiah chapter 57?
Yeah, just had it waiting on me, verse 1 and 2. Yeah, had it waiting
okay.
on me. I'm coming back with daughter. And that 32nd chapter. So now we this name Jacob. Now we're going to find out what happened to his name, Jacob. Now, we find out right now. An angel met him in 32 verse 1. We find that out. An angel met Jacob in 32 verse 1. Now, daughter, skip down to verse 24. Let's see what happens. So now we learned a lot of stuff on the way up, learning something. But let's find out some more in verse 24. Genesis 32, 24, we read a little bit. What does it say that, daughter, Yahweh?
The book of Genesis, chapter 32, verse 24. Verse 24 reads, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 36. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. Verse 27. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has thou power with Yahuwah and with man, and has prevailed.
Okay, well, I got a question there for the mother of Israel and daughter, whoever want to ask it. He asked for a blessing. He said, I ain't gonna let you go till you bless me. So can you tell me, he asked for a blessing. That's what he asked for. So what is the blessing he received?
The name.
Who announced that?
The name of Israel.
Excellent. So you see what the blessing is. You see what the whole, that's why we try to tell you. Listen, if you're gonna be kind of government name, you got to care to cash your checks and all that. But listen, it ain't no blessing in that government name. The blessing is in the name that your forefathers asked for. He said, I want a blessing. And first thing he asked him, what is your name? So the blessing's in the name. So when we when you hear all of us got Israel at the end of our name, we understand what the Bible's saying. The blessing is in the name. So how would you leave home without it, understanding the blessing is in the name of Israel? He said, what's your name? My name is Jacob. He said, your name is not to be called anymore Jacob, but Israel. Then he tell him what the benefit of it. And tell you what Israel means. For as a prince, you got power with Yahweh and man. Because once you say you Israel, you'll make people, whoa, whoa. You trying to tell me, yes, I'm Israel. You not. I'm Israel. You Esau. I'm Israel. The blessing is with me. Your forefathers seen. My forefathers get that blessing. But you just don't want it. But you hiding it. And you perpetrator being me. But you just found the liar with the scriptures open. Yeah. That's why it's so important is for the land school banquet hall and the radio station and to teach the young ones to understand one thing. The blessing is in the name. When you carry the name of Israel, you got the blessing. But when you carry the name of Willie or Peterson or Strawberry, you just in the world. So the blessing's in the name. Let's get a precept on that, daughter, 35, verse 9 and 10. Let's get a precept on that, 35, verse 9 and 10. Of Genesis.
The book of Genesis, chapter 35 and verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 reads, and Yahweh appeared unto Israel again. When he came out of
Hold on. Hold on, daughter. Hold on. Now he appeared unto Jacob again. Jacob said, because he's going to take care of himself. It's going to remind him of something. And 35 verse 9, just read the way you see it, because he's going to take care of some business. And remember, you are going to be teaching them little young babies. And you got to
okay.
make sure you on point all the way. Take your time to read that verse number 9.
Genesis chapter 35, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 reads. Verse 9. And Yahweh appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him.
Yes. Yes.
Verse 10. And Yahweh said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. And he called his name, and Yahweh called his name Israel.
So see that? So he reminded him. He took that business the first time, then he came back and reminded him. See, sometimes you got to, repetition is the art of success. He know what happened the first time he was, but he had to bring it to, you know, sometimes you remind somebody, don't forget now, you said you're going to sustain. He said, you remind me, yeah, I'll just remind you of it just to make sure we're on point. So he appeared unto him again in Padan-Aram and blessed him and said, thy name is Jacob, but thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall thy name. Then the big boss man himself, and he called his name Israel. Then he told him the benefit of all this. Then he told him something to pass on in verse 11 and 12. This is what he told him in verse 11 and 12, daughter. Take your time and deliver the knockout blow, what he promised him in verse 11 and 12. What did he say?
The book of Genesis chapter 35, verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 reads, and Yahweh said unto him, I am Yahweh Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of you, and kings shall come out of your loins. Verse 12, in the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to you I will give it, and to your seed after you will I give the land.
Ain't that something? You mean all this in the Bible? Yes. He said, no, it don't be no election every 4 years that will put somebody. No. He said, these kings can come, according to verse 11, all these kings can come How is it going to come to order according to verse number 11?
Yahuwah said unto Israel, I am Yahuwah Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of you, and kings shall come out of your land.
You mean kings going to come out of your bloodline? Yes. This is bloodline. This ain't about every 4 years. No. This is a bloodline. That's why you have to know who you are. Well, this is bloodline conversation right here. He said kings going to come out of the bloodline of you. Jacob, whose name was changed of Israel, he said, "Now, and your bloodline, I'm gonna give you and your bloodline a land. See that? Into that land. So now you clear that the land of Israel belongs to the bloodline Israelites that came out of Jacob, who nailed chains of Israel. So you see, they got a big controversy over there. Well, you know why the controversy is? Because you think this book is done away with." See, if you ain't got your foundation of Mother D of Israel, 11 verse 3, what it says, hey, Mother D of Israel, what it say in 11 verse 3 if you don't have this information? You're going to be all over the place. What it tell us that we can read in 11 verse 3 of the book of Psalm? Angel came down and looked David eyeball to eyeball in 11 verse 3 and told him something, and what did he say? Yep. What do you say, Mother 11, verse 3? What do you say if we can read?
Psalm 11, verse 3.
What do you say?
If the foundation be sure, can the righteous do?
See, if you do not have your foundation, Mother, what can the righteous do? So if you don't have your foundation, if you don't know who you are today, if you don't know the blessing is in the name of Israel, if you don't know that the blessing was given to Jacob, name chains of Israel, and his seeds that come out his body forever, the land of Israel should be no controversy about it. There should be no controversy if you read the Bible. The Bible tells you exactly who's supposed to be in the land of Israel. The seed line of Israel, whose name was changed from Jacob to Israel, not Esau and his five sons. You do not belong over there in the land of Israel. You are lying from the pits of hell with the Bible open. You're supposed to be in Mount Seir. That's your homeland. That's where you're supposed to be at. That's why the land got no rest. In the land, it's never going to be no rest until the real Israelites, wake up to understand one thing. You want Yahuwah to intervene? Understand who you are. You're not Jethro Peterson. Your last name will be Israel, and you have the blessing. Then you're going to find out what go with the blessing. It's the teaching of the understanding. So the ones of the land of Israel is the sin of Esau. The one that run in Europe is the sin of Esau. The one that run in America is the sin of Esau. You don't belong in man one of the lands. You belong in Mount Seir. That's your homeland. Now, y'all got to understand this thing. So what we're going to do, we're going to pause that. We'll see how y'all came in to let you know we'll bring this broadcast and whatever all might put on him. Then, Mother, we're going to come back and find out. Since we found out that Jacob's name was changed of Israel, we don't know, was he? We know you got some already holding. We understand that already. But when we return, we want to find out what happened to Jacob, whose name was changed of Israel. Was he cremated, or was he buried like everybody else? Because the memo saying, my parents asked, when we die, we want to be cremated. Is that biblically? We're going to find out. After we bring our elder in, we'll find out. Do you suppose to let somebody throw you off in the fire, then bring out your ashes and put it in a little bottle and say, here, we're going to find out later. And right. A lot of people got their little bottles sitting up there. That's they go, they're little bottles sitting there. What's in that bottle, granddaddy? Oh, that's one of our loved ones in that bottle right there. See that? The ashes, they give you there. They'll burn you up over in the place. They burn you up there. Then they put your ashes in a little cup or something. And you say, here. See? You will be doing. So me and I heard a loud voice. You say, Elder Mr. Tills Israel. One of the elders out of Cap 1. Yahweh be to that sea right.
And Yahweh bless you, see Israel, or see Royal. Alu, Yahweh.
Alu, Yahweh, there, Elder. Well, Elder, we continue down the line on laying some foundation, the daughters and the mothers, but we understand the Elder now came on the scene to tell the national audience exactly what this broadcast is all about and whatever Almighty put on you. So take your time, you're on the clock, and I'll get a chance to get me a little herbal tea behind that. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, CSO, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And as I always say, it's a pleasure to be among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And that's always a good thing, because you always find out something new each and every time you read the Bible. And that's the direction that we should go. It's printed clear for some people that are righteous. And if you pay attention, you know that there is a history of the world past, the world present. And as I say, our history starts from our birth to our death. And those who fail to learn history correctly are soon to repeat it. They are simply doomed in this world and the world to come. And that's something to think about. Because we're told a direction to go, like in 2 Ezra, chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. 7 says, interest therefore is now, and set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there was fire on the right hand and on the left deep water. 8, and only one path between them both, between the fire and the water so small, there could only be but one man go there at once. And that's the direction that we're teaching. That righteous way to go. You can't veer left or veer right because you get thrown off track. This tells you that a teacher can't learn from a student trying to tell the teacher which way to go. The teacher's the one giving wise counsel. But having knowledge, the teacher even gains more experience by teaching. Now, on the other hand, a student can learn from wise counsel and possibly learning to teach the word of Yahweh one day themselves. And this shows well in all the 6 camps that teach. Because we have to know, we all came to hear things that most of us can hear, and some listening never understand. But Yahweh's ministry makes all this misunderstanding very possible. We came to see things in the Bible through proper teaching. Some looking can never find. Those are the ones that's all over the place. These are the misinformed. They can do none of these things we do. But again, this is why the words of Yahweh that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. And if you remember, if you're not right, Yahweh is not going to give you this word. Thus, we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're given this knowledge to know. We have many out there that camouflage their evil or confused teaching and overly loud bump the gums contests for their method of righteous learning, even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against us that already know. But you have to remember, the best is already here. We're just waiting for the rest to come so we can show them which way to go on that narrow path. This is one of the reasons why we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's Ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's Word, learning how to connect the Bible books. Your health foods you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. We do this because you have not. It's the information that you all listening have came to seek and have now found that in the voices of the true Israelites, the tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you on the normal days from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, Sabbath class we do have, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. That class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30, and the bottom part of the Sabbath is set. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Also, we have a website address. Now, to use this on any search engine, any one of your devices, write in that search line in the tribeyadah.com. This is important. tribeyadah.com. You'll be looking for tribeyadah.com-Israelites. Doing this will take you to that big line where they will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Step one, to use this, click donate with PayPal. The next step, which is step two, click send. Any amount you wish to send. Also, there's a message if you'd like to add one. Doing this, may Yahuwah bless you. Also, you have to remember, we remind you each and every time that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures, which are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and mentioned once again in Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Saith Yahuwah alive. Also, to building a school, which is very well needed, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Also, while there, check out our calendar, which is there to help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We even have a live program, which is a feature that's available during our broadcast time. To get there, type three words this time on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking it, it will take you to Voices of the True Israelites, tribe of Yahuwah. Click the red light button as soon as it appears, or the red play button, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. Also, we have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first being a live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other number is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 and 9 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, when you hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. And now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, not to worry, you can catch the entire recorded show today after 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Our program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do that, just enter Yahuwah Radio Live on the search line. Voices of the True Israelites, and choose the program you will late log into for any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, during our normal Blog Talk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our information on Falzone, which can be logged in by your phone, tablet, or computer, even nowadays your smartwatch. Just make sure you've downloaded the Falzone app. We will be listed in the ethnic group, African American. Look for West of the True Israelites. When you get there, you'll find our room will hold 50 or more listening participants where Yahuwah's Word will be working for your Bible education. An online there to answer the on-the-table topics we discuss during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with Seer Israel, riding a shotgun. So during this time, we'll be taking no comments off the topics or any more than 2 text questions answered at a time. and the broad talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Top Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But that continuing reminder I always give, when we're given the scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not to the confusion. So doing this, we have to remember to be careful not to make worldly statements that can't be backed up in the Bible, but sure to make those statements that can be backed up in the Bible. And that's a good thing. So we will turn our program back over to our seer Israel and let the teaching begin. Alu Yahuwah.
All right, Elton. That's excellent. And we got a memo in that Big Diggins there asked a question about their parents and said, my parents got a note for me to when they passed to cremate them. Is that biblical wise? I said, well, you know, I don't know. I said, well, when we come on the broadcast, we'll take a look at it and see. You know, I asked him, are you Israelite descent? He said, no. Well, see, we know, we find out now through Israelite descent that putting you off into the fire and then putting you off in little tube, that's not good for Israelite descent. So we taking care of it on the run, Dale. We taking care of it on the run. And we're going to find out that anybody in the Bible that's Israelite descent went through that cremation or burning them up. So I want you to kind of give me one verse, Dale. So we know the children of Israel, they're getting ready to leave Egypt. And Joseph was the big dignitary there. But Joseph said something to his sons, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Ephraim. He said something to his sons about what he wanted to happen to him. And we want to read a little bit of that in the 50th chapter there, Elder. We want to read a little bit about what was said. And we go on to Genesis 50, Elder. I want to hear Joseph written testimony, his will, or what he wanted to see happen to him when he looked his son's eyeball to eyeball in the 50th chapter. And let's see what Joseph said. Joseph made a statement in the 50th chapter, verse 22 down to verse 26. Let's see. Remember, Joseph was 17 years old, and he'd been the number one man in the sons of Ham. The Egyptians ruled for a long time. So sometimes you might get a little distracted by being around things. But I want to know what he said in 50 verse 22 down to verse 26. Elder Ezekiel, let's talk about Joseph. What he said to his sons in Genesis 50 verse 22 down to verse 26. You're on the clock. Come on.
Okay. In the book of Genesis, I believe you said, chapter 50. Verses 22 to 26. Verse number 22 says, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, Israel, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years, 23. And Joseph saw Ephraim, children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh. were brought up among Joseph's knees. 24, and Joseph said unto his brother, I die, and Yahweh will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land, unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Israel. 25, and Joseph took an oath of the family of Israel, saying, Yahweh will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones from hence. 26, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. In Belfast.
Mm-hmm. Good. So we already know what he was embalmed with. Not embalmed with, he was embalmed with everybody from previous lessons on today. Joseph said, take my bones up out of here.
The elder?
Exactly. Where everybody's bone was going.
He was coming to you. You and his voice, and he's coming to him.
In that cave, so he wanted his bones to go exactly where everybody else's bone was going to. As a matter of fact, Mother D.F. Israel, we know you got a whole lot of markers, Mother. But hold all your markers up, Mother. Let me take a look at. I want to see the depth of Israel. I want to hear the death of Israel. Jacob's name was changed of Israel. But I want to hear something about that. I want to know exactly where we at, Mother. So, Mother D.F. Israel, so we're going to the 48th chapter. Hey, Mother D.F. Israel, we're going to 48th chapter. We're trying to walk this thing down a little bit. We know you got a whole lot of good stuff to be to talk on, to read on shortly. But I got to lay out the next man up. So we know the next man up was not Esau. It was Jacob, whose name was changed of Israel. But I want to find out some more stuff about him, Mother, in the 48th chapter. And pick up at verse number 1. And we'll read a little bit and see what happened since he was the man of the hour next. Let's talk about him a little bit. In the 48th chapter, verse 1, we keep reading until we get our point. Let's read until we get our point there, Mother. 48 of Genesis, verse 1. Take your time. The world listen over 900,000 on in after time. It all is, Mother. Take your time to deliver the knockout blow in 48, verse 1. Come on.
Genesis chapter 48, verse 1. And it came to pass after those things that one told Joseph, behold, your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Verse 2. And one told Israel, and said, behold, your son Joseph cometh unto you, and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Verse 2.
Good, right there. So we find out he's old, he got sick a little bit, Mother. We find that out good. Now let's go a little further and see what happens. So now he old him. He raised up a little bit. Now, let's see what we can read, Mother. We're going to the 49th chapter. He's going to do some tall talking in verse number 29. Let's read 29 down to verse 32. We're trying to learn something on the way of learning something, Mother. 29 to 32. Listen real good. Because we know right now, Jacob, whose name was changed of Israel, he's on the clock. So his time now is coming short. Let's see what his living will was happened for him in the verse 29 to 32. Take your time there, Mother, and let's see what we got. We in Genesis 49. Yeah. Take it verse 29 to What you reading there, Mother? Come on.
Genesis 49, verse 29 to 32. 29. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my father in the cave that is in the field of Ekron, that the Hittite. 30. In the cave that is in the field of which is before Moriah in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ekron, the Hittite, for a possession of a burying place. Verse 31. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah, verse 32. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Seth.
Mm-hmm. So all the big dignitaries, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, national audience, they was not cremated. They was all buried. They was all buried. They was all buried. Mother, skip down to verse 50. They was buried, and they went to the ground, the cave. Skip down to verse number 13. 50 verse 13. Let's read a little bit more. 50 verse 13 of Genesis. 50 verse 13. We're trying to line things up so we clear. 50 verse 13, let's read a little bit, Mother.
Genesis chapter 50, verse 13. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of him, which Abraham brought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ekron, the Hittite, before Moriah.
Good.
14.
Yeah, good.
And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brother, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father.
Excellent. So now we know our Israelite burial, our Israelite after death, you're supposed to do what to an Israelite after death, Mother? The head Israelite was what? Buried. So you don't cremate. Israelite is not to be burnt up and put into a little tube or something. That's you learning from the world, not from the Bible. Your both parents was all buried, and we know exactly they was wrapped up and they was buried. We clear about that. So now we clear that on the comment board is, my parents want to be burnt, cremated. Well, that's if your parents is an Israelite, that ain't where the Israelite supposed to go. You're supposed to follow the Bible, not your emotion. Because your parents could be mistaught. That's why your parents are today doing Lord God, Jesus, Jehovah, and Sunday. Because they've been mistaught. But this ministry is trying to wake you back up to understand something. If you're going to get this man will, you got to do this man will. So now you understand the children of Israel, Israelites was married. They was wrapped up, spices put on in the wrap, and then it was placed, and then something else happened after that, but we'll take care of that a little bit later. Good. All right, daughter Yahweh. So now we back on the case on something that I need to take care of one statement in Tobit chapter 4, verse 12, based upon why Abraham told to tell Jacob not to be messing around with them other folks. Because when you start messing around with the other nations, you are something to be taken away from you, according to Tobit, daughter of Yahweh. Hey, daughter Yahweh, what it says in the book of Tobit 4, verse 12?
The book of Tobit, chapter 4, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "Beware of all whoredom, my son, and chiefly take a wife of the seed of your father, and take not a strange woman to wife, which is not of your father's tribe. For we are the children of the seers, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Remember, my son, that our fathers from the beginning, even that they all married wives of their own kindred, and were blessed in their children, and their seed shall inherit the land."
Hear that? So we're gonna be on the clock. Soon later, that daughter Yahweh. You're gonna be seeing that big old school, and you're gonna start seeing them, and they got to be prepared to understand something. If you want your blessing, you have to make sure that you mirror your mate. Got to mirror you. You just don't jump up and just do things outside of the book, because what you do, you cut your blessing off. You might be buying your $10. But according to Yahweh, you really cut your blessing off, because that's not the way you're supposed to go if you want to step on the blessing. You must mirror the person that you put your head next to the pillow. You're supposed to mirror that person. Should not be an opposite person of that, because you just lost your blessing. But another thing now, but if you is accidentally caught up with that, somebody of another nation that don't mirror you, then he got something written exactly what you do behind that, daughter. See, the Bible tells everything spirit-led exactly what you do. Oh, well, I made that mistake. Okay, good. What do the Bible say about making that kind of mistake? Well, the Bible have answers to that, too. If you have made the mistake and you in a relationship where it looks like somebody else, then it's written in the book what you do. It's written. So if we're going to find out what is written that you do in the Bible. That's all. Then we're going to get back to a little bit more, because Mother got that Isaiah 57:1-2 and that Habakkuk chapter 3:1-16 waiting on me. And the elder have me 1 Thessalonians 6:1-16 that waiting on me. But in the same token, we want to know, what do you do then? If you didn't know these things, but now you're getting the information that it's certain things that you don't do. What's written? That how do I come out of this? Help me out, daughter. I gotta pull a rabbit out of here. I gotta pull a rabbit out of here behind that one, daughter. And 1 Chronicles 21, daughter of Yahweh, suppose you jump up and you end up with somebody that looks like somebody else. Oh, you didn't know? Then in 1 Chronicles 21, daughter, let's see what can we read. I'm all over the place right now, but I'm looking for 1 Chronicles 21 to see exactly what do you do. And it came to David's mind what to do. In 21, 1 Chronicles 21, let's find out what it says in verse number 9 through 11, just getting warmed up, our daughter. 1 Chronicles 9 through 11. Although David was the king of Israel, but let's see what he says in 1 Chronicles 21, 9 through 11. What it say that, daughter of Yahweh? What it say that we can read?
1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 9 through 11. And Yahweh spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, verse 10, go and tell David, saying, thus said Yahweh, I offer you three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto you. Verse 11. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus said Yahweh, choose thee.
Okay, good. Who is this Gad again, according to verse 9? Who is this Gad again, daughter, according to verse 9?
David's seer.
Yeah, ain't that something? You mean a king? You mean the big dignitary supposed to answer to who? According to verse 9, who he supposed to answer to, daughter, in verse 9?
The seer.
It's right there. And let's see what did David say behind when he told him what he said, what David said in verse 13.
Verse 13. And 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 13. And David said unto Gad, I am in great straits. Let me fall now into the hand of Yahweh, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of
let me not fall in the hand of man, huh? He said, I'm in the great strait. See, sometimes we might be in a great strait because we be done some things that we think it, you know, that is, you know, it looks good, saying good, but it is biblically good. See, sometimes you might find that's why it's very important this ministry understands. A lot of people, they make moves because they just didn't know. But now it's time for that sleep to come off of you. Let's go to Ezra 10:1 there, daughter. See, David understood he was in a great strait, and sometimes you might be in a great strait. You might be in a great strait on relationships and wonder what happened. Maybe you might be in a great strait. Let's see what the Bible got written and when old seer told firsthand about this thing in 10:1. Let's read down to verse number 4, and let's get down to verse 10 then, daughter. Ezra chapter 10, 1 through 4, and pick up at verse 10. We'll read a little bit.
The book of Ezra chapter 10, verse 4 and verse 10. Verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. Verse 2. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our Yahuwah and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope for Israel concerning this thing. Verse 3. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our Yahuwah to put away all the wives such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Yahuwah, and of those that tremble at the command, at the law of our Yahuwah. Let it be done according to the law. Verse 4, arise, for this matter belongeth unto you. We also will be with you. Be of good courage and do it. Verse 10.
Wait, hold on a minute, daughter. You said this was according to what again, daughter? He said now.
The law.
He said now.
According to
the law. He said, I want you to do this according to the law now. So otherwise, they have to make a Bible decision, daughter. Sometimes, see what happens, we don't want to make a Bible decision. And that's why it's very important to understand that, Elder, what it says in Sirach 19, verse 19, Elder? See, what happens, we make a decision based upon emotion. But the seer told him, no, you got to make a Bible decision. And the Bible decision was according to the law. So what do the law say there, Elder, in Sirach 19, verse 19?
What the law say? Okay, in the book of Sirach, chapter 19, verse number 19.
Uh-huh.
19 says, the knowledge of the commandments or Torah instructions of the Yahuwah is the doctrine of life, and they that do things that please him shall receive the fruit of the tree of immortality.
Ain't that something? You know, the elder just got to read. And you know, read that again. Elder, you don't stumble upon something. It's like you don't stumble upon a golden nugget. You said the law is, but see, I've been taught all my life that the law is done away with. I've been taught that the law is done away with. And a big dignitary, the WCC, just leave a message here. When you start teaching like this, we get very unhappy. So what we're going to do, we're just going to mute daughter of Yahuwah off the broadcast for the rest of the broadcast. She's through talking for the night. That's what we're going to do. See that? So, you know, what can I say? That's why I keep telling you, Land School Banquet Hall radio station like yesterday. So the big dignitary said they got to mute somebody off the broadcast. And we're going to, daughter Yahuwah, going to be mute for the rest of the broadcast. Well, read verse 19 again.
Verse number 19 says,
yep.
The knowledge of the commandments, the Torah instructions of the Yahuwah, is the doctrine of life. And they that do things that please him shall receive the fruit of the tree of immortality.
So when you're pleasing your mighty one, what are you doing, Elder? You're keeping the law, statutes, and the commandments. So when you're keeping the law, statutes, and the commandments, you're really pleasing Yahuwah. I mean, that's why we keep telling you, you got to make a Bible decision. The law, statutes, and the commandments is a doctrine of life. If you do so, you please Yahuwah. And is it done away with, Elder? In Romans 7, verse 1 and 14. So I want to know, is it done away? See, this is what we're trying to say. If you please Yahuwah, which is the doctrine of life. Hey, Mother D. F. Israel, give me a precept on that. Give me Proverbs 4, verse 2. What are you talking about?
Give me 10 minutes, there.
All right.
Give me 10 minutes.
I hear you. We in grand style there, Mother D.F. Israel. See, the big digging terrorists, they want to throw the broadcast into chaos by milking the daughter of Yahweh. I said she's through talking for the night. See, that's what we keep telling you. Listen, this is a big job, and those are gonna step up to the plate. Be ready to holler on that microphone, and take care of Yahweh's business until we got our own land, school, banquet hall, radio station. It's gonna happen, because all you do keep talking about 4:17 in Romans. You call those things that is not as they are, and Yahweh will cash in for you. See? So now we find out that the knowledge of Yahweh will please him when you keep the law, statutes, and commandments. So when we read Romans chapter 7, verse 1 and 14, Elder, make it plain what it says in Romans 7, 1 and 14.
In the book of Romans chapter 7, reading verse number 1 and verse 14, 1 says, "Know ye not, brother, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law had dominion over man as long as he lived." Verse number 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin."
You see that? The law is spiritual. I mean, you can't kill a spirit. The law got dominion over man and a woman as long as you live. As long as you live, we'll keep the law. So that what the seer was saying in the book of Ezra, pertaining to relationship with the other nation. He said, we're going to do things according to the law, because the law got dominion over you as long as you live. So you need to know these things when your loved ones that come out of you get to the age where they're trying to venture off into the world. Make sure they understand the law got dominion over you as long as you live. The children of Israel can lose their blessing by being with another nation than his people. We just read that. The law have dominion over you as long as you live. So let's go back to Ezekiel. You hear them? Because Mother says she needs about 10 minutes before she's ready to go. She'll say hallelujah, Yahweh, when she's ready. So we'll keep it going on, you know, in EZRA. We was already reading in the 10th chapter that the seer came and was told by Yahweh that the children of Israel, they have been in these strange lands, and they start marrying strange wives. So Ezra had to come tell them, the law don't support what you're doing. That's what he said in 10 verse 3. Let's read that again. We say in 10 verse 3 there, Elder. Ezra chapter 10 verse 3. What he said in 10 verse 3 again, for the national order can really hear what the seer is telling the children of Israel about this thing. We got to take care of some business, but not according to emotion, but according to what? 10 verse 3, what it say, Elder?
Okay, in the book of Ezra, chapter 10, reading verse number 3, says, "Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our Yahweh to put away all the wives and such are born of them, according to the counsel of my Yahweh, and those that tremble at the commandment of our Yahweh, let it be done according to the law."
You hear that, Adam? You say, now we're going to do this according to what? What, Adam? We're going to do it according to what?
According to the law.
According to the law. According to the law. He said, look here. The seer is telling them, we're going to do this according to the law. Skip down to verse 11. Let's keep reading a little bit in verse 11. Listen to this now. Now listen to what the law tells you got to do when you is in a relationship and the person is not your tribe. This is pertaining to the law. Verse 11, let's read a little bit.
Verse number 11. Ezra chapter 10, verse number 11. 11 says, "Now therefore, make confession unto the Yahuwah of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land, and from the strange wives.
Or husbands, go ahead.
From the strange wives.
Or husbands, go ahead.
Then all the congregation answered and said, with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do.
Stay on down, yeah. 13, okay. Just keep on down. Stay on
13.
Down. 17.
But the people are many, and it is a time of such rain that we are not able to stand without. Neither this is a work of one day or two. For we are many that have transgressed in this thing. 14. Let us now, our rulers of the congregation, stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our city come at appointed times, and with the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our Yahuwah for this matter be turned from us. 15.
Wait a minute. What did you got to read in verse 14? You mean what? Read verse 14 again, Elder.
14 says, now our rulers of all the congregations stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times, and with them the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our Yahuwah for this matter be turned from us.
You mean Yahuwah don't like that? You mean Yahuwah? If you read last two lines, that the fierce anger of Yahuwah is on you when you got a strange husband or wife is not of your tribe. The fierce anger, and if you don't resolve it, Yahuwah will not turn his wrath away from you. Is that what you're reading there, Elder? What did you read in these last two verses, Elder? Can you help the national audience out on the last two verses and break that down for the national audience? What is he saying? What is the seer telling you about how Yahuwah feel about you with another person that look like somebody else? In the last two lines, come on.
Last two lines, it says, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our Yahuwah for this matter be turned from us.
What are you saying?
What he's saying is that when you do take a strange wife, all the elders from every city and even the judges, I guess they're supposed to make judgment on you because of the fierce wrath of Yahuwah.
What you mean? You guess. Remember, this is the law. This ain't no guesswork at all.
Yeah.
Ain't no guesswork at all. This is what Yahuwah feel, and the elder and the seer is telling you exactly how Yahuwah feel about you with somebody look like something, somebody else. The fierce anger of Yahuwah is against interracial relationships. It is right there. And this matter is not resolved, his wrath going to be upon you. That is right there in verse 14. Ain't no guesswork at all. Ain't no guesswork at all. The seers tell you exactly how Yahuwah feels. Because he made it plain, put a marker there, Elder. He made it plain in Amos 3, verse 7. He's coming right back. What did he say in Amos 3, verse 7?
Okay. And the book of Amos. Looking at chapter 3, verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, surely Yahuwah will do nothing but revealeth his secret to his servant the seers.
You see that? So Ezra is telling you what Yahweh feel about interracial relationships. The children of Israel, that's a no-no to the children of Israel. That's why you have to know who you are. And you got to be able to raise your offspring the proper way according to the Bible, not because of emotion or what that person pleased me. No, but what do the Bible say to keep the fierce wrath of Yahweh from coming down on your head? So you have to make that, that's why you have to be in the right ministry, understand what pleases Yahweh and what don't please Yahweh. Now, what pleases Yahweh, now come back to Sirach 19:19 again. Now, see what pleases Yahweh. What pleases him, he told another seer what pleases him in Sirach 19, verse 19, Elder. What did he say?
Book of Sirach, chapter 19, verse 19 says, the knowledge of the commandments or Torah instructions of the Yahweh is the doctrine of life. And they that do things that please him shall receive the fruit from the tree of immortality.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? So what Yahweh wants you to do, if you want to please him, then you keep the law, statutes, and commandments. You want to please him? Then do what the man got written. Ezra is reminding them, you want to please your mighty one? Then you do what the man tell you do, according to the law, statutes, and the commandments. Now come on back to Ezra 10 verse 15. Let's see what he got next in 10 verse 15. Down to verse 17. Listen good. Ezra 10:15-17, let's say, Elder.
Chapter 10, reading verses 15-17. 15 says, only Jonathan, the son of Asher, and Jezaziah, the son of Tadah, were employed about this matter. And Meshulam and Sababa, the Levite, to help them. 16. The children of the captivity did also. And Esther the priest was certain chief of the fathers after the house of their fathers, and all of by their names, was separated and sat down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. 17. And they made an end of all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month.
So what happened? They all met up. They all came before those seers and sat down on the 10th month. And then everything was resolved on the first month. So you got how many? 10, 11, 12, 1. You got 90 days to correct that issue. Yahweh leave you 90 days. You got 90 days from the 10th month to the first month to correct the strange marriages, make all the agreements that you made, all the stuff to take care of. You got 90 days. So Yahweh give you 90 days to correct it. Oops, I know that. Well, you got 90 days to take care of the business. On if you is in a strange relationship that is not of your bloodline, you according to the law, as we're telling them, according to the law, you got 90 days to correct it. Here's right here. 90 days, you got to correct it. Let's read it again, Elder. Let's read it real good. In verse 16 and 17, he'll give you from the 10th month to the first month to correct the matter. So you got 90 days to get back up under the grace of Yahweh when you're in a strain. Well, I never was taught that. I know. That's why this minister come in and tell you what the Bible's saying. Remember, Ezra said, I'm telling you according to the law. And Yahweh said to Noah, see, in 19, verse 19, the knowledge of the law what pleases him. So how you please him? By keeping the laws. That's in the commandments. That's what pleases him. That's it. I know it's a tough job, but that is. Read verse 16 and 17, Elder. Take your time, Elder. Just deliver the knockout blow. Just read the book. Come on.
16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "And the children of the captivity did also. And Esther the priest was certain chief of the fathers, after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names, were separated and set down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. 17. And they all made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month."
Yeah. And they made amends only on the first day. So that's 90 days between. So you got 90 days if you're going to please your mighty one on somebody that don't, it's not of your bloodline tribe, and you have settled in with them. If you're going to please Yahweh, you got 90 days to correct it. It's right there. So what happened in verse 44, Elder? What happened in verse 44?
44? Verse number 44 reads, "And all these had taken strange wives, and they and some of them had wives by whom they had children."
Yeah. A lot of them was in a great strait. But now you hear what the Bible tell you to do. So see, our job is on care of the Bible. And that's all we're doing. We're reading the Bible and just commenting on what we're reading. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and 17. Elder. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and 17. What does it say?
In the book of Matthew, chapter 19, looking at verses 16 and verse number 7. 16 says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? 17. And he said unto him, Why callest me good? There is none good but one, that is Yahweh. But whom if thou wilt enter into life, keep the Torah instructions or commandments."
You see that? So hey, see the question there? Hey, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? He said, why call me good? If you want to get into life, just keep the law, statutes, and commandments. That's all you both do. I mean, you think it's a mystery, you gotta spend all this money. If you want to get out what's called salvation, you want that word called salvation, eternal life? He said, oh yeah, you can get it. All you gotta do is keep the laws, statutes and commandments. That's all you gotta do. You see how easy that is? Keep the laws, statutes, and the commandments. If you want to get off into life, keep the laws, statutes, and the commandments. See, the seer's job is to show the elders what the book is saying. And that was Ezra came and showed them exactly what this man saying pertains to the law of being with a partner that looked like somebody else. He said, you got 90 days, according to Yahweh, to take that wrath off from over you. You know, because he said, he made it plainly, and go back to Tobit 4 verse 12, Elder, in the red book, Tobit 4 verse 12, what it says in the book of Tobit 4 verse 12 again, because we got to understand something, that the law is, in the book of Tobit, Elder, 4 verse 12, it makes a profound statement in 4 verse 12, and what do it say in 4 verse 12?
In the book of Tobit, chapter 4, reading verse number 12, says, "Beware of all whoredom, my son, and chiefly take a wife from the seed of thy fathers, and take not a strange woman to wife, which is not of thy father's tribe, for we are the children of the seers, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which name is Israel. So remember, my son, that our fathers from the beginning, even they that married wives of their own kindred, and they were blessed in their children, and their seed shall inherit the land.
Can't get no plan in that. He let you know, he said, so now the father passing on to his son. Don't do it. See, he wants a blessing over your head, don't do it. See, you've been a chosen generation to do what Yahweh says, gonna please him, then you got to do what the Bible's saying. You got to let emotion. You remember what he said over there in 10 verse 3 again? Go back to Ezra 10 verse 3, though. 10 verse 3. Back to Ezra 10 verse 3 again. Now, you dropped the bombshell in 10 verse 3 there, Elder. What did you read in Ezra 10 verse 3? What did you read again?
In the book of Ezra, chapter 10, reading verse 3 says, now therefore let us make a covenant with our Yahweh to put away all the wives, and such are born of them according to the counsel of my Yahweh, and those that tremble at the commandments of our Yahweh, and let it be done according to the law.
And let it be done according to what? What?
The law.
The law. And the law is spiritual. The law. Now, Yahweh the Son came in the flesh. In Luke 10, verse 25 and 26. Now, look what Yahweh says to the big dignitaries in the flesh. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 and 26. What did he say? He in the flesh now. Some big dignitaries came and sit down at the feet of Yahweh the Son. Let's hear some of this conversation in the 10th chapter, verse 25 and 26 of Luke, the elder. Let's hear some of this conversation. What did it say?
Book of Luke, chapter 10, reading verse 25 and 26. 25 says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? 26, he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou?
You see what man told him? You told him, you're a good master, what I got to do, tempting him. What I got to do to have eternal life? He said, what's written in the Bible? That's how make a Bible decision. That's all he's telling you to do. The reason why we're in captivity today is because we ain't making no Bible decision. We got degrees on the wall. We all over the place. But we're not making no Bible decision. See? And that's why we're in trouble today. Because we don't make no Bible decision. We make worldly decisions that's contrary to Yahweh. He don't like it at all. And you know what he said over there in Hosea chapter 5, verse 15? You know he told a seer something in Hosea 5, 15. Hey, Ella, what did he tell a seer in Hosea 5, 15? What did he say to the seer? Eyeball to eyeball, Hosea 5, verse 15. What did he say, Ella?
In the book of Hosea, reading chapter 5, verse number 15, it says, I will go and return to my place. So they acknowledge their offense and seek my face and their affliction. They will seek me early.
He said, I'm going to go watch you. He said, I'm going to turn a seal loose and a male loose just to read the Bible to you. I'm just going to watch you and see what you make adjustment according to the Bible or you're going to stay in your fields. He said, I'm just going to watch you. That's what he said he's going to do. Until you acknowledge that you have transgressed against my laws. That's in the commandments. And once the truth is told to you, let's get a precept on that, Elder. Let's go to the second book of Chronicles, 36, verse 12. Let's go to the second book of Chronicles, 36, verse 12. He said, I'm going to go watch you and see after I turn the seal loose. Pass to the elders.
would you make a Bible decision, or would you remain making fleshly decisions? Or this intervention can help me get a better position in the world. Is you going to do Yahuwah's business, or are you going to do worldly business? It's up to you. My job is to show what the Bible says, spirit-led. Let's see what it says in 36 chapter verse 12 of the book called Chronicles. What it say, Elder, Mr. Tibb? 36 verse 12.
Second Chronicles chapter 36, reading verse 12 says, "And he that did that which was evil in the sight of the Yahuwah, is Yahuwah, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the seer, speaking from the mouth of the Yahuwah."
So the seers be speaking what kind of way, Elder? From the mouth of Yahuwah. I don't like that old seer. I like to take his head and run into the tree. But the seer speaking from the mouth of Yahuwah. See? The seer speaking from the mouth of Yahuwah. Yahuwah give to the seer to give to you. It's up to you. Make a judgment according to the Bible. You want the blessing of Yahuwah, just do Bible. That's all you got to do. Do Bible. He give the message to the seer to tell the elders, and the elders keep it moving. We're letting you know what Yahuwah like and what he don't like, according to the law. Skip down to 14 now to verse 16. Let's see what happened next. 14 to 16. What happened next, Elder?
Verse number 14 and 15. 14 says, "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen nation."
Hold on. Now we're going to stay in that Chronicles. In that Chronicle book, we read 12.
Second Chronicles.
12. Yeah, pick up verse 14.
I'm in second. Second Chronicles,
yeah, stick,
chapter 36.
Yes, stick where you was at. Just pick up verse 14. You read verse 12, knowing that the seal was speaking from the mouth of Yahuwah. We got that part. Now skip down to verse 14 to 16. What happened next?
Okay, that's what I was reading. I checked myself. 14 says, "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen nation, and polluted the house of the Yahuwah, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem, Yadah Judah. 15. And the Yahuwah of their fathers sent them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sinning, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place."
Come on, next two verses.
Oh, okay. Next two verses. 16 and 17. 16. "But they mocked the messengers of Yahuwah and despised his words and misused his seers until the wrath of the Yahuwah arose against his people till there was no remedy. 17. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of Chadis, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He that gave them all unto his land, into his hand."
So you see why we're in fasting today? See, when you mark Yahuwah's messengers that come and tell you what make him happy and what don't make him happy, you mark him and say, "Go on about your business here. We ain't hearing none of that. We're gonna do a Jeremiah 44:16 on you, seer." Hey, Ella, what it say in verse 4 and 16? Jeremiah 44, verse 4 and 16. So it said, "Go on about your business here. We ain't hearing you." Jeremiah 44, verse 4 and 16.
Oh, Jeremiah 44. Okay. in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 44, reading verses 14 and verse number 16. 14 says, so that none...
No, verse 4. Hold on, Elder. 44, verse 4.
Okay.
Then skip down to verse 16.
That's what 44, I got.
Verse 4.
Okay, 44, verse 4. Verse number 4. 4 says, how that I sent unto you all my servants, the seers, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Verse number 16 says, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Yahweh, we will not hearken unto thee.
Right.
Okay, 17. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drinks offerings unto her, as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings, and our priests.
You didn't say, Adam? They said, we're not listening to you. We're not hearing nothing you're saying. We're not hearing. We know you're speaking from the mouth of Yahweh, but we're not going to pay you no never mind. He said, we're not hearing you. Okay? We tell you what the man's saying, but do you know what they're saying? I ain't hearing that. There it is. I ain't hearing that. He told Ezekiel something similar to that in 3, verse 7 out of verse 10. Elder, can I get a precept on that in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 7 to 10? I need a precept on that, Elder. Let's see if he told another seer about the children of the book. What did he say in 3, verse 7 down to verse 10? Let's get a precept on that, Elder.
In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, reading verses 7 to verse number 10. 7 says, but unto the family of Israel, we will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-headed. 8, behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. 9, as an animate hardener that I flint have made thy forehead, that have made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. 10, moreover he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thy mind, and hear with thine ears.
So he said, you see that? He said, Ezekiel, go tell them, but they're not going to listen. They're not going to pay you no never mind, because they don't even pay me no never mind. So when you tell them, Cyril, elders, what's going on, they're not going to pay you no never mind. See? So there it is right there. So our job is to tell you, we know you're not going to pay the seal don't never mind, or the elders don't never mind. You're going to do everything to come out your mind. We're not listening to you. Look at the precept on that in Jeremiah chapter 7, elder. Back of the 7, pick up verse 23 down to verse 28. From back of the Jeremiah 7, verse 23 down to verse 28. Jeremiah, Yahweh still talking to Jeremiah about this issue of things, about these peoples called Israel, the Israelites. What did he say in Jeremiah 7, verse 23 down to verse 28? What did he say, Elder?
Jeremiah chapter 7, reading 23 to 28. 23 says, but this thing commandeth them, I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Yahweh. And ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. 24. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walketh in the counsel and the imagination of their own evil mind, and went backward, not forward. 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have sent unto you all my servants this year, daily rising up early and sending them. 26. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. And they did worse than their fathers. 27. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto them. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer. 28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Yahweh, their Yahweh, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth.
Oh, you hear that, elder? You hear the man saying? I don't care how much you share with the Bible saying, they ain't gonna pay you no never mind, elder. He said, this is a nation of Israel, the Israelite to a tribe, they would not stand correction. So don't lose no sleep. Just tell them what the Bible said and drink a little bit. Let me get one more precept on that, elder. Go to the 25th chapter. And look at verse number. Just give me two lines of verse number one. I won't know who's talking and who he's talking about. All I need is the first three lines of Jeremiah 25, verse 1. All I need is three lines. I need to know who is Yahweh talking to. In the 25th chapter of Jeremiah, all I need is three lines on who Yahweh is talking to. What it say in 25, just give me three lines. What it say?
What verse? Chapter 25?
Verse 1.
Verse number 1. 1 says, the word that came unto Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year.
That's it, right there. So the word came from Yahweh concerning Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, the one called African-American and Negro and Supercom. This word is for Judah, the one called the Negro. What do you say about the Negro in verse 4 down to verse 7?
Verse 4 to verse what?
7. What do you say to the Negro, 4 to verse 7?
Verse number 4 says, and the Yahweh hath sent unto you all his servants the seers, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. 5. They said, turn ye again now, every one, from his evil way, from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Yahweh hath given you, unto you and to your fathers, forever and ever. 6. And go not after other Yahwahs to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. 7. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Yahweh, that might provoke me unto anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt.
He says, by not keeping my law, statutes, and commandments, you put hurt on yourself. You provoke me to hurt you. You provoke me to beat your back. You provoke me to beat your back because you won't listen to me. And I am going to beat your back, too. Let's Smith, see what Isaiah said about that. And Isaiah 1:1, let's read a little bit. We're coming to a close, Charlie. So you see, the children of Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, especially Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon, you can show them plainly what the Bible's saying, but they ain't gonna pay you no never mind. And there is right there. But Yahweh said, I'm gonna hurt you. I'm gonna get you for it. The seer's job is just to tell you what the Bible's saying according to law. It's up to you to make the adjustment. He gonna watch you through the mouth of the seers. Once he said these people, they're not gonna stand in correction. They still gonna do their own thing, and then soon they think they see the tunnel light bright. Yahweh knock you off your feet. And you keep on wondering what happened. He keep telling you what happened. You're doing things contrary to me with all the power I got. And I rise up early, send the seals to you, six nights a week, to tell you, come back to the Bible. Make a Bible decision. Stop making worldly decisions. What you reading, Elder?
I'm reading in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, you say start at verse 1 and read on.
Yeah, start at verse 1. I need to know who's talking first. All I want to know is who's talking. I need to know what's going on. Is Isaiah the seer, is he talking from emotion? I want to find out who's talking. Go ahead, verse 1.
Verse number 1 says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Yadah Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah and Jotham, Azza, Hekaziah, the king of Yadah Judah. 2.
You see that? So Isaiah the seer saw in the vision concerning, again, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon. So Yahweh put him in a vision to show him up the road about this people. Matter of fact, before you read verse 2, go to Jeremiah 13, 8 through 10. Let's see what he called his people. What do he call Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon? Coming back to read verse 2 in a minute, the elder. But go to the 13th chapter and look at verse 8 down to verse 10. Let's see what Yahweh told Jeremiah, what kind of people he is, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. 13:8 down to verse 10. Come on.
In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13, reading verses 8 through verse number 10. 8 says, then the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, 9, thus says the Yahweh, after this manner I will mar the pride of Yadah Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. 10. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their minds, and walk after other yahwehs to serve them, and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing.
What? You mean Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, according to the eyes of Yahweh, is built for what? Elder?
Good for nothing.
Ain't that something? You mean he told Jeremiah to tell this greatest people this year that with all this knowledge I gave you on what to do, what not to do, in his eyes, Jeremiah the seer, go tell the people you are good for nothing. Because you won't do nothing I'm telling you to do. Now come on back to Isaiah. Let's pick up verse number 2. Let's see what he said. Take it out of verse 7. I tell you what, take it out of verse 8 and give him a closing statement. We'll leave it like that. Take it down, straight down, 2 down to verse 8. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 to verse 8. Now he's talking to Isaiah about these people. From 2 down to verse 8, Elder, we just thought, shut them down because they have done a job on the network tonight again. So we just cut him down, get back out on the march, 6 o'clock. What does it say in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 down to verse 8 in the closing statement here?
Isaiah chapter 1, reading 2 to verse 8. 2 says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." 3. "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master crib. But Israel doeth not know my people, doeth not consider." 4. "All sinful nation, a people laden with anger, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupt. They have forsaken the Yahuwah, and they have provoked the righteous one of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards." 5. "Why should we be stricken anymore? We will provoke more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faints." 6. "The soul..."
Hold on, Adam. It says in verse 5, "Why should ye be stricken anymore?" He said, "Why should I even beat you anymore? You know you got your grandbaby over turbo too. You tell him, no, stop. Don't go over there to that stove. And you go beat his back real good. And you sit down and you go back over and do it again." See? He compared you to a turbo 2-year-old. He said, "Why should I stricken you anymore? Why should I beat your back anymore?" He said, "The more I beat your back, the more you're going to act up." Read that verse 5 again, Elder.
Verse 5 says, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revoke more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole mind faints."
6. Verse 6.
"From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and purifying sores. They have not been cold,
so
neither..."
Yeah.
I'll read it again. Verse number 6. "The sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and purifying sores. They have not been cleansed, neither..." "Neither bound up, neither mortified with ointment."
Seven.
"Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers." 8. "And the daughter of Zion, Adonijah, is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a marge in the garden of cucumbers, and beside besieged city."
Verse 9
says, "Except the Yahuwah host had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah."
You see, the man said, "But you left a small remnant." That's it. He left a small remnant. Except Yahuwah left a small remnant. Yahuwah's voice is over to his life. Do y'all be swallowed up? You got a small remnant is trying to tell you now. Why don't you make a Bible decision? The next time you can make a decision, why don't you check with the Bible and see if you're making a Bible decision or you're making a world decision? You see what Yahuwah told you, what he likes and what he don't like. And what he don't like is relationships where they don't reflect you out of your same tribe. He don't like it. You see that? He's even 90 days to correct it. That's why we're in trouble today. And he said, "Why should I keep beating your back? The more I beat your back, the more you're going to do contrary." But see, Yahuwah got a plan. He got a plan to stay on come to an end. He's going to burn you in the fire forever in 6624 of Isaiah, which I'll tell you. Listen, 12 tribes of Israel, the Israelites, make a Bible decision on your decision. Let's stop it right there until tomorrow 6 o'clock. Hey, Elder, what your closing statement is behind that, Elder? You're on the clock. Come on.
Now, once again, Yahweh bless the seer, the mothers that is attending tonight's program, and all the listeners that are out there that is receiving the word of Yahweh. Yahweh bless you. Yahweh keep. Shalom.
Shalom. Listen, we're not anti-anybody. We're not affiliated with anybody. We, Yahweh's voices of the truest light. Help us help you. Don't you want your loved ones to one day come to a place that's large enough to sit down and learn the word of truth before they get up out of here? Don't you want your babies, your grandbabies to come to a school to be taught the truth sooner or later? Help us help you. Donate to this ministry, and we'll make it happen for you. It's already in the makings. Big piece of land, school, banquet hall, radio station, for you to get in where you fit in at. Don't you want to help your auntie, your cousin, your niece, your family members, or what happens after death? You gonna know what happened in relationship? We can teach you all that according to the scriptures. We can say you many days of why did this happen by understanding you need to make a Bible decision. That's it. Until we meet again tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Bright Eyes Bush at 6 p.m. tomorrow, from the elders, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, the big dignitary, cut off the sisters and the mothers. Say they don't need to talk no more tonight because it's our radio station. That's right. But we know we at hand to come. So I'm going to say, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh, to meet tomorrow at 6 o'clock on a special edition called Thursday Evening. Shalom.